they might look at me like, how is it that you're feeling bullish? And how is it that you have this sentiment? And the truth is that my only answer is that Bitcoin changed me. I'm not a normal human being anymore. I'm a homo Bitcoinist. What up, Vigilantes? Today I have a very special show for you guys. I'm here with Mr. A&W of the Crypto Vigilante. These guys are the rock stars that give subscribers daily technical analysis. And it is really a pleasure for me to work with them, for Mr. X to work with them. And, you know, we'll be talking about that dynamic a little bit later on. But what I love about hanging out with them on the back end is to see how much Jeff geeks out with them. And Jeff has been geeking out a ton. And we're going to talk about something about Jeff, something Jeff did this past week that was completely outstanding, that goes to show how hard work pays out. How are you guys doing, this, Mr. A, Mr. W? How are you guys doing?
Good, man. Thanks. Thanks for having us.
So yeah, what happened this week? Oh, pardon me, Mr. A, I cut you off there.
Yeah, so I'm doing excellent.
Awesome, awesome.
Yeah.
So, right, you know, we're forward moving and forward thinking. And something happened this past week that shocked people, but it did not surprise us. You know, it's interesting that while everyone in crypto was running for the hills, at the Crypto Vigilante, we were cool. And that coolness was palpable. And I even... our head of research, Ed Bugos, was like, you guys are too like comfortable. What did you guys do? And the truth is that we knew that this was coming. Mr. A has been bearish in his analysis for quite some time now and pretty much called this. He knew a correction was in, and a lot of naysayers were like, no, Mr. A is not right. And Mr. A, maybe you can speak to a little bit to that. And by the way, congratulations on that, because you really kicked ass, man. You really prepared us from a technical analysis perspective. And we were not surprised. This happened with Luna did not catch us off guard. And we want to thank you for that, because your analysis really saved the day for a lot of people, a lot of our subscribers, and the fact that you stuck to your guns and you kept explaining why you saw the market conditions as such, really gives testimony to what we champion of constantly seeking and striving for objectivity as analysts. So first off, I want to thank you for your analysis, Mr. A, and second, I want to congratulate you for hitting the nail on the head.
Well, thanks for that. Yeah, it was a bearish call, and my HODL stash is not very happy about that, but that's how the game goes. I saw this coming for quite a while. I've been saying, everyone be careful for a few months now, actually ever since, you know, January, February. And I kept seeing more and more signs building up to this. And then we had a capitulation last Thursday, which, you know, a lot of people say it's Luna driven, and you know that's the narrative around it. But to me, the charts all said was coming. It was going to come for one reason or another. The techno said it was going to go down. The Luna is just the narrative that created the fear conditions to make it happen. Could have been anything. I'm glad people were prepared. I'm glad to see that now that bullish sentiment that was in the market, especially with all the Twitter up only, we're going to 100K before the year is over. Accounts are now flipping bearish, which is good. That's going to clean things out. And as things get cleaned out, we have the opportunity to buy low and load up on assets near the bottom, or at the bottom, hopefully, in preparation for the next bull run, which is going to start at the end of this four-year cycle. Lots of people have said that the four-year cycle is dead. They would have extended cycles and super cycles and all this stuff. But at this point, I have to say, we topped out in November. as expected on a 4-year cycle at the end of year three. Now we're going into the bearish phase of 4-year cycle over this year. You know, probably looking at, you know, November again, December, maybe even January. So that's the timing zone for 4-year cycle bottom. And the 4-year cycle is alive and well. And I think it makes sense because we have a Bitcoin halving every 4 years. And that's going to continue to play a factor in how this asset trades, which is the reserve asset for the whole market. So the whole market kind of rides the tide of Bitcoin up and down.
And thank you for saying that, because as you guys know, I during the Bitcoin Civil War, I was a big blocker and I still am. And Mr. A is very sobering for someone like me. So if you're a big blocker out there and listening to Mr. A, whether you like it or not, he's right. And that's the thing. You have to be stoic. You have to be a brutalist in the market if you really want to do what's right for and be responsible. You know, one day you use the word responsible a lot, Mr. A, and I love it because you say things sometimes like it would be irresponsible not to do this right now. And it's because you're very objective. You read the market and you're right. Bitcoin BTC is the store of value for crypto right now. It is the place. It is what moves the market, whether you like it or not. That's the truth. And thank you so much for always hammering that point, because BTC may get a lot of hate, but it is the big daddy still, you know?
Yeah. I want to note something that, you know, BTC maximalists can be kind of annoying and almost like a religious zealot. And that's a nuisance that, that you know, bugs everyone around them. And a lot of people on the altcoin space come out at BTC and because they're angry at it, they're angry at the maximalists, and they want BTC to fail so that their altcoins can succeed. Yeah, that happens in the privacy space a lot. And the maximalism on the other side of it, on the privacy space and altcoin space, is also as detrimental to everyone as the Bitcoin maximalism is, I think. And I think there's room in the market for multiple projects to succeed. And I think if you want your project to succeed, we need Bitcoin to succeed, because it is the, like you said, the reserve asset of the whole crypto space. And Bitcoin failure does not equal, you know, privacy coin success, or the opposite. Privacy coin success does not equal Bitcoin flavor. They're not intrinsically related to one another. And we actually need all of them to succeed, because if they do it together, we have even greater gains.
Right on. I recently interviewed, and these interviews will be coming out like in the next week or so, like one after another, at the Guns and Bitcoin conference. And the Bitcoiners there, the BTC Bitcoiners there, were phenomenal. And I'm talking about the guys from Samurai Wallet, Sparrow Wallet, Ronin Dojo. These guys are incredible guys. Econo Alchemist, Upstream Data. These are BTC focused individuals that, you know, so you can't just paint with the broad brush and say all BTC people are the same. No, it's, and you guys will see in these interviews that these guys are outstanding. And, and it really made me love the BTC worldview, my interaction with them. Why? Because these guys were very real. And they weren't pushing just a narrative, but they were stoic. This is BTC, where it's at, and this is how we're making it better. And you guys are going to love these interviews. But you prepared us for what happened in the market. And so did Mr. Z, who's not here with us, but I will be interviewing him soon. He called it. He said that these algorithmically pegged stable coins were unstable come market pressure. Mr. W, Mr. A, if you guys can please shine light as to what Mr. Z told our subscribers back in March, actually.
Yeah, I mean, so essentially his thesis was that that these stable coins aren't holding value, long-term value for people. All they are instruments for people to get into riskier DeFi ecosystems, which actually is exactly what happened. And so once people started seeing that peg, lose that peg, and the rates market got all messed up on these DeFi ecosystems, particularly in Terra. I think that's their DeFi ecosystem where you can get like 20% yield or something. Then money started just flooding out of the system, just like it would in a classic bank run. Like if you, we don't have bank runs anymore really because the Fed is so interventionist now, but back in the day, if people didn't trust the bank to have their money on hand at any given time, people would go take all their money out of the bank and the bank would fail. And that would hurt, that ends up hurting the monetary system. And so that's essentially what you had here. It just happened in like, you know, a fucking fraction of the time because we're in crypto and this stuff just happens pretty much overnight. And you know, that sucked. I think we saw today the actual number was like, they had this market sell like 30,000 Bitcoins or something like that on May 12th. And so that added pressure, right? That was kind of coming anyway. The market was telling us that, but that was the catalyst. And so, you know, that does relieve some of that market sell pressure now, but now we have this trust overhang. There's more, you know, people talking crap about crypto and politicians want to get involved now. So there's going to be repercussions just even outside of the price damage that we saw, unfortunately.
All of these things are good. And maybe I have to like frame this and what I just said in a way that people that are new to crypto understand. The more pressure that crypto, that Bitcoin gets from the market, from the world, from in every aspect of its existence, the stronger it becomes. And so throughout this whole Luna debacle, I love what you and A were saying. Let's just pull off the Band-Aid. Let's get it done. And it's that mindset of like, let's fail fast. We want to fail in crypto. We want to fail fast, learn our lessons and move on because these technologies are not going anywhere. Bitcoin's not going anywhere. Crypto's not going anywhere. And so the faster these things happen, the better we will be off. The worst thing we would want is for some major issue to be a cornerstone upon which crypto's built on and for it to just, accumulate dependency over time. What do you guys think about this? This whole, and what do you guys mean about that? The whole notion of pull the Band-Aid off, get it done.
Anti-fragile. I mean, we want these things to be as anti-fragile as possible, unlike the current system we have, which is super fragile. Hence, again, like I said, the interventionist Fed. And so I totally agree. Yeah, like, you know, we kind of do want to move fast and break things, but at a certain point, we just need to start making good products too, you know.
So something that we got to experience, and I don't know if Jeff has spoken about this yet or he's about to speak about this, but we got to experience something that the only way I can describe it as is, though, that is the way an experienced investor, an educated investor, acts in the market. And it was watching Jeff, the way he dealt with this whole Luna thing was outstanding to me. There's so many lessons in what he did that I can talk about this for hours. So would you guys want to please describe what Jeff did? While everyone was running for the hills, Jeff did the complete opposite.
Yeah. So let me just real quick. I'm sure Mr. A has a few things to say, but for me, this was like a textbook example, almost like a case study in distressed investing. This is what, like guys like Carl Icahn and stuff have become billionaires doing, is buying highly distressed assets when they look like they're going to zero. And then when they don't, they go up explosively. And like, so I was explaining this to a friend. The thesis is that even if the asset is a zero, like Luna it's zero, it's worthless now at this point, but you know that insiders who still have exposure are going to pump it to try to exit. So you're going to get that last exit pump. That's what Jeff knew. There had to be a last pump for everybody to get out. And he took advantage of it. It was brilliant.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I was like, wow. And that's something that like, you can't even handhold someone through something like that. It's almost like that's the type of investment move where it's no longer an action, but it's a work of art where you take in a bunch of factors and the artist knows how to grab a bunch of factors and how to implement them in real time at the exact moment, at the exact time. So at that, in a sense, investing and trading becomes an art. And there we got to see on the back end, we got to see an artist at like one of the, like, it's like the most brilliant moments, right, of his life. You know, it's like as an artist, knowing exactly when to come in, when to come out. And that was just incredible to me. What do you guys think about investing as an art?
Well, that was definitely an artistic move. I mean, buying Luna at the absolute bottom, and the bottom being the limits within Binance and the restrictions of like how much can you buy at a time and what's the minimum. You know, there's a limit of like 9 million tokens for any token you can buy in one shot. And also a $10 minimum, and you're trying to buy as much Luna as possible, and you can't because there's limits on like how little and how much you can buy at a time. So you have to increase the price a little bit to actually meet the minimums to do it, and just keep hitting buy over and over again. Even then, the amount was overall small. It's, you know, spending 5 to 10 grand to buy billions of tokens at the absolute bottom. And the challenge is trying to make those minimums, which is crazy.
Right, exactly. That was the hard part. That's why I didn't. That's kind of why I stayed away. I was like, man, this is going to be hard to do.
Yeah, it takes commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes commitment, and it's I think this is something that you can't really teach someone. It's something that they have to like grow into, and it takes discipline and, like you said, commitment. It's not something anyone can just do in a whim. You can't tell someone that this is it's almost like these are those things that only come with experience and a lot of work and a lot of humility in learning things, you know. And that's something I want to talk about real quick, because a lot of people that come to like a financial newsletter, like the Crypto Vigilante, For some reason, they think that they don't have to do the work. They just have to just follow advice. But you have to really learn. You have to really learn. And I think a great example of this is Jeff. Because I see Jeff Berwick constantly geeking out with you guys and constantly asking questions, growing, and just geeking out with you guys. He's constantly like figuring new things out, learning things, asking questions. And it's, to me, that's fascinating. It's fascinating to watch someone that is already like, you know, I could say at their prime as an investor, as someone that is very well versed in economics, finance, and yet to watch him still be like a forever student. That to me is just goes to show how it really takes work. It's, you know, these trades that happen in the market where you say, wow, how did he do that? Whoa, this dude is, you know, he has magic. Well, there's a lot of work that people don't see, a lot of dedication, a lot of hours of time of learning, reading, studying that people don't see, that you and I, we see it with like, and we're using Jeff as this like example for people, that it really takes dedication. If you really want to become a real good day trader or a real good investor, you really need to be a forever student. How do you guys see that dynamic with Jeff? Because yeah. I mean, you guys interact with him on the level of technical analysis, and I love watching you guys interact in that area. It's great.
Yeah, I love how he, like, you know, we'll, a lot of times we'll post a chart and he'll straight up just be like, "What does this mean?" You know, just like straight to the point, basic kind of stuff. But I mean, those are the questions that most of us have, you know, when we see new information. And so, yeah, curiosity is, especially in crypto, is like one of the most important characteristics of somebody getting involved in the space. You have to constantly be curious about what's going on in the space.
And then there's a reason why I format my videos in the way that I do. There's a reason why I don't list the trades as text, that someone can just look at them and they go like copy them, because I actually want you to watch the video, because there's nuances in the way I'm describing a trade, how things could unfold, and you need to learn those before you go blindly putting in buy and sell orders and just leaving them. Like, I want you to understand how the dynamics of that chart are working before you go and start plugging in values. Lots of people ask me, won't you just post the trades, you know, as text? It's like, yeah, I could do that, but then you miss the learning opportunity that I'm providing in the video.
So for a lot of you guys, you know, watching this right now and probably asking yourselves, well, who the heck is Mr. A and W? These guys that, you know, they have Guy Fawkes masks and they look like a guy from the Matrix, like a monk from the Matrix. Like, what's going on? Well, guys, these guys were part of the crew that was at the helm of what was known. And every old school Bitcoiner knows this. It's a household name. If you're an old school Bitcoiner, you know this name, Bull Bear Analytics. These were the Bull Bear Analytics dudes. What was Bull Bear Analytics? Bull Bear Analytics was comprised of the first technical analyst to chart Bitcoin in the Bitcoin Talk forums in 2010. So we are blessed to have these guys with us. Like, you guys have to understand that, like, the goal here is to really bring the best and give a voice to the best. And I like, these guys are awesome. As you guys can tell, these guys are amazing. So, that's who you guys are listening to right now. And if intelligence, if you want to kind of describe what intelligence is nothing more than a race in the market in figuring things out, problem solving. And those who are the first to figure something out, problem solve something in the market, that network of investors are the most intelligent of investors. Like, that's the definition of intelligence. It's a race in the market. And in my opinion, the most intelligent traders and investors in all of crypto land were those that were the first to chart Bitcoin in the Bitcoin Talk forums. These dudes right here. So, like, it's an understatement for me or Mr. X or Jeff for us to say, dude, these guys are the like fucking awesome. And we're blessed to have them at the Crypto Vigilante because they are. And you guys need to know that. You guys are freaking amazing. And you guys are like, obviously, these are new names, right? A and W. But it goes to show that these guys don't care for fame. And what they really are here for is for the love of this game, for the love of crypto, because they share the same libertarian values we do. Yeah. And they're here to help you guys out, because the crypto evolution is not something that's going to happen by myself alone in my basement. It's not. It's going to happen by everyone understanding these technologies that empower you as an individual on an individual personal level, where you customize this crypto experience in your personal life. And you are your own sovereign financial individual. And the fact that that's why we're here. That's really why we're here. We're here because we love this. We can't see a world without this. Guys, what would be a world without crypto? What would be a world without Bitcoin right now, given current events and all the bullshit we're living through?
No, it would be so bad. I don't think we can imagine how bad it would already be if crypto wasn't a thing. Scary to think.
Everybody still be a slave right now. There's a complete, total slavery, and there'll be no escape whatsoever. And thanks to Satoshi, we've had an escape hatch built out of that system.
Yeah, 100%. I do want to say this, and you just talking about, you know, how much experience we have in this market, that doesn't make it any easier to go through these cycles. Like, you know, it's no matter how many you go through, these things are emotional. There's guys that have been through, you know, seven cycles, you know, 80-year-old guys that have been investing in equities, you know, since the 40s and 50s have been through multiple cycles. It never gets easy to go through these cycles, but that's how markets work. And you know, our job is just to kind of help you navigate that and stay as unemotional as possible during these emotional times.
And, you know, the cool thing about having a team is that we watch each other's back. We're not hedging. We're trying to come to a greater understanding of what's happening, but we're trying to be as objective as possible. But sometimes you have to put your foot down like Mr. A did. And he was like, no, guys, this is what I'm seeing and this is what it is. And he saw something no one else saw. And here we are. And everyone at the Crypto Vigilante was that was protected by his analysis. And it's like, it goes to show how it's important to have that space of ongoing research and critical analysis. But yeah, thank you for saying that, Mr. W. I really appreciate that. Yeah, it's never going to get easy, but it's a lot better than being by yourself because, yeah, you know, this is multidisciplinary, interdisciplinary, and it's awesome to have a team. You know, you can do this on your own, but if anyone in crypto tells you that they have it all figured out and that they know better than everyone else, dude, I'll run for the hills, man, because I am constantly learning from Mr. A, from Mr. W, and I'm constantly being humbled by Mr. Z, Ed Boogles, Jeff. There's always something to learn. Always. So if you're going to get into the Crypto Vigilante, make sure you come with the mindset of, I'm going to go there and I'm joining a giant study group and I'm going to get research that I am going to take in, digest, make it my own, and personalize it into my personal life and really learn things as best as possible and come to my own conclusions, because that's our goal. Our goal is not like the doctor that wants to keep you sick so you keep coming. No. Our goal is for you to be like to the point where you are strong on your own in the market. You understand operational security, how markets work, how crypto works, what the heck this new asset class is. And then this is the best thing is, why do we want this? Because if you get strong, if you get powerful in crypto knowledge, you're going to be better off in making a better space for yourself in crypto. And in turn, you're going to better crypto for all of us, because that's the beauty of crypto. Crypto is not something that, you know, just like it's like the Satoshi design of proof of work. I, as a miner, I am bettering. And you guys know I love Bitcoin mining. I'm a miner. As a miner, I'm fortifying the network and the network is fortifying me. And I'm doing what's best for the network and I'm rewarded all the time for doing what's best for the network. And what's best for the network is to help my competition, the other miners, quote unquote, out and helping them be their best selves. So that's the beautiful cooperative competition that Satoshi started. It's a free market dynamic that is nothing but voluntary exchange, peaceful interaction, where we are literally trading value back and forth peacefully. And we're really giving ourselves the tools to grow together, to interact better in civilization, right? Which is not, in the Austrian sense, civilization is the idea that we yield more by working together than by working by ourselves. So, Mr. A and W, where are we now in this market? What's going on? Are we expecting a bull rally to happen? Did we enter into a bear market? What's going on? Or do you guys want to keep this for the subscribers?
No, I'll let Mr. A start because he's been nailing this thing so far.
Okay, I think at this point, we are in a confirmed bear market. The long-term, the intermediate structure of the four-year cycle has decidedly proven itself to be bearish. I think that anyone out there calling for a bull run from here is probably incorrect. I never say anything 100%, but say probably incorrect. And I think, like I said at the beginning of the video, the four-year cycle is alive and well. We topped out on the three-year point of the four-year cycle in November. And now we are in the last phase of the four-year cycle, which is a bearish phase. And it's going to be choppy and downy and weird over the next 6 months, probably, until we can finally find a bottom and establish it. And once that's established, we want to be buying it. I think it is probably going to be at least one more major panic sell.
Yeah.
Like we've just had last Thursday, to capitulate this thing to the final low. And that's a low we want to be buyers of. We want to be going all in on that. In the same way that people who went all in at 3,100 back in the last bear market during that capitulation. And also their second shot at the COVID capitulation, which is a little bit higher than that. You want to be going all in at that point, because once we get to those levels, I think, you know, getting a 5 to 10X out of it is almost guaranteed. It's much more guaranteed than altcoin plays, which are much riskier. And that's what we'll be looking for, is to buy those capitulations when they happen. And I think we have one more in the cards before this is all done over with.
Okay, yeah. So here, let me ask you a question. The market is anti-inductive. Like, so you just gave information out to the world. So now people are expecting that. It's almost like you have to be on this, because just the fact that you just gave this information on the world could actually change the outcome of things. Am I right? I mean, or am I wrong? Because you are someone that obviously, like, we all respect. And if you're expecting a bear market, well, obviously that's going to, obviously that knowledge that you have just got out. And my question is, I'm trying to frame it. I don't know how to frame this question. Help me out, guys. Is I don't even know how to frame this question. Maybe people in the description below can help me frame this question better. But how much of a bear market can we expect because of how crazy Bitcoin is and crypto is? Because a lot of people can see this as a great opportunity to buy, and next thing you know, we have a bull run, right? That's the knee-jerk reaction that everyone has in their mind, because if everyone says, okay, this is a great time to accumulate, you know, we're talking about an asset class that is limited in supply. So if everyone says, yeah, this is a great time to accumulate because we're in a bear zone, and if you look at the history of Bitcoin and you see Bitcoin and crypto just going up over time because of its limited supply, and we have that understanding that there is a four-year cycle, a four-year trend, we have this understanding that the block size is going to reduce. There will be less and less Bitcoin over time. Well, it's almost like my question is, does the knowledge that we have from yesterday really work tomorrow? I mean, and as I know, as technical analysts, you guys are always like, we can rely on patterns, right? And sometimes I hear technical analysts say things like, the market has taken that into account. Right? Like the four-year cycle. People think that a lot of times people think that when a halving happens, when Bitcoin halves, that, oh, it's going to just rally because it's going to halve. But in reality, it's like, no, the market's anticipating that. So my question is, can we still be surprised? Because you're telling me that we're going back into a pattern of that we thought we had broken. And here we are again telling you're coming back to no, the pattern hasn't been broken. But can the pattern be broken still? And in a sense, I'm kind of asking you, Mr. A, is there a chance that you could be wrong?
I mean, there's always a chance it could be wrong. I mean, I'm always the first one to admit when I'm wrong. I have no problems with that. And, my HODL stash would be very happy if I was wrong. That's why I keep it. And 4-year cycles are still in play, but are they all the same? No. Like, this particular 4-year cycle was a very weird one. You know, we had coming out of it, we had that crazy pump to 14,000 off the $3,000 bottom. That was very fast. And then after that, we chopped sideways for a long time. And then we dumped into COVID capitulation. And then we had a mega bull run that went really fast, really quickly to, 60,000s. And then we had the middle correction through the summer all the way down to 28,000. And then we had another all-time high just above the previous one. Didn't go fully parabolic. Been chopping sideways essentially for a year and a half. And now here we are. But it's the 4-year cycle timing, which is measured by the lows, not by the highs, still in play. And I think it is. And I think the low that we had at 3,100 was a low that marked the end of the four-year cycle bottom and marked the beginning of a new cycle. Now we're going to have a new low coming November, December. Wherever the low is going to land, I don't know. I can't tell you that. It could be, you know, 22,000. It could be 20,000. It could be 17. You know, any of those things are possible. But there is a low coming, and that low is going to mark the end of the cycle in the same way that we had the high mark the top at, you know, 67,000, you know, and that's still true. Was it parabolic and go to 100 and 200 like we all expected to be? No, it wasn't. So the cycle flavor has changed from the previous one. We went to 20,000 vertical. And the next cycle might change flavors again. You know, we don't know what's going to happen.
So my guess is that one of the reasons that this cycle got pretty muddied up is because this is the first one where we've had a Fed rate hike cycle going at the same time. So the previous bear markets, you know, and bull markets, we come into them and come out of them with full risk on, Fed at zero, pedal to the metal, money printing, go burr, a whole nine yards. This is the first time where we've had to do this with the Fed fighting risk assets actively in the face of inflation. And so that backdrop makes it much harder to rally a lot higher and is going to make, unfortunately, this bear cycle feel pretty painful like it already has. And so that's one of the reasons, main reasons why I'm in agreeance with Mr. A is it does look like the four-year cycle is still intact. I don't think we'll know until the next cycle when we don't have this crazy Fed policy and this interesting macro environment going that we have now. Then we'll kind of know more about the idiosyncratic workings of the halving with regard to Bitcoin, if, you know, if we're risk on in 4 years. But at this point, it's too hard. And also investors don't know what to expect out of crypto when the Fed is hiking, especially if we're possibly going into recession. So these are all worries that are weighing on crypto now, and why I think we had a truncated, shortened bull cycle to the upside, meaning like Mr. A said, we didn't get to 100, 200K. We could have if it wouldn't been for the Fed, but I think that's actually what happened.
Yeah. We're all expecting Bitcoin to go parabolic. And instead I showed you that chart, you know, on our last video where like the dollar was parabolic.
Yes, exactly. So,
it's kind of hard for Bitcoin to go parabolic when the trade's against the dollar and the dollar is doing a parabola. You know?
Yeah, that's exactly. And that's all part of it. The dollar prices in all of this stuff and still looks strong. So, you know, it's that kind of environment. And as much as we would all love to see, you know, a nice 15, 20% bounce to the upside, get back to 35, 40K, something like that. It's just, there's so many sellers stacked to the upside that it might actually take another capitulation to get people interested in buying rather than selling.
Okay. So I am not a technical analyst, so I can't speak from that perspective of you guys, but I can speak from another perspective. And Daniel Krawitz, who I know some of you guys know, he dubbed the term Homo Bitcoinis. We're not Homo sapiens anymore. We're Homo Bitcoinis. After Bitcoin came in, we've changed. We're not Homo sapiens, we're Homo Bitcoinis, meaning that Bitcoin changes you from within. And I think my question more revealed who I am and how I am and how I'm changing from within as a speculator, as an investor, as the way I see life, because I can't see myself not being bullish about Bitcoin and crypto all the time. And you guys watching this, you guys will notice this because Bitcoin's not going anywhere. Crypto's not going anywhere. And I think you guys can also like probably relate to this. It's that the longer you're in crypto, the more you realize how truly anti-fragile this is, how it's not going anywhere. And where anytime you see a bearish tendency, you just get happy because you're getting Bitcoin. You're getting crypto at a discount because you know this is not going anywhere because you have this understanding of limited supply that's not here, but it's like in your soul of like, like you are incentivized to change and to save. You're incentivized to save above all else. And for your unit of account to be Bitcoin, for your unit of account to be crypto, because it's not going anywhere. So for me, I have no bearish sentiment whatsoever. And it's almost like when, you know, when you talk about the market, a lot of times, especially if you're not a professional technical analyst like you guys, like myself, you're really just revealing your own psychology. Like the question I asked you guys is really not, I wasn't even talking about the market. I was literally in that question veiled within it. You guys got to see my own psychology as to like how I'm thinking about the market, because I can only see a base of Bitcoiners, a base of crypto adopters that is changing and becoming more solid in their conviction of knowing what crypto is, because they have more experience and knowledge that this is not going anywhere. This is only going to get better as time goes on, and it's only going to get stronger as time goes on. And so to me, I'm so bullish. It's crazy. And maybe someone that just came into Bitcoin or crypto last year or just during this bull rally, they might look at me like, how is it that you're feeling bullish? And how is it that you have this sentiment? And the truth is that my only answer is that Bitcoin changed me. I'm not a normal human being anymore. I'm a homo Bitcoinist.
I love it. And I totally agree with that. And I mean, don't get me wrong, and I'm sure Mr. A would agree with me that very long term, from a fundamental standpoint, we've never not been super bullish on this stuff ever. I mean, always hyper bullish long term. Fundamentally, this is the future. There's no doubt about that. It's just as analysts, as tacticians, it's our job to try to do a little bit better for the people that are seeking help from us. You know, let's try to be a little more accurate. Let's not beat around the bush here. Short term, things don't look great. But like you said, if you're an investor, you're not in this space, or you are in this space, you want more exposure, or you have a lot of exposure, you want even more exposure. These are the times that you get excited about when you hear us talking about 20K. Hell yeah. Buy some coins at 20K. Let's go.
Oh my God, guys. Okay, something else that you notice as you convert into homo Bitcoinist is that you get really happy when there's a correction, and you get really happy when there is like a bearish event or a bearish tendency, like Mr. A is describing the four-year cycle. That, you know, like, it's wild to see that change within me. That I remember back in the, like, when I got into Bitcoin and Bitcoin like would drop, oh my gosh, my heart would drop. And I wanted to, when it would go high, I would FOMO. I would rush into the market because I wanted to get the gains, right? It's like now my market psychology completely changed. And now it's like when it's high, I get sad. I get upset because I didn't buy back then. And now I'm just trying to check my greed and like check myself as a person. And I'm lost when it goes high. I feel upset, really. Like when it's high, I'm like, ah, but now that it's, you know, corrected and it's finding support and so forth, that's when I'm excited, and it's almost like I want to convey that excitement to everyone, because it's nothing more than like the greatest opportunity of their lifetime. Like literally from this moment forward, like they say, today's the first day of the rest of your life. Well, today and what's happening now in crypto is the best thing that could happen for you moving forward in the rest of your history with crypto. That the market conditions are such that you can come in at a discount. You know, to me, that's such a beautiful thing that is happening. Unfortunately, most people that are new to this world, they like I used to be, right? They read the opposite, and that's okay, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it's a part of the process, I guess. But don't you guys think that there's more and more homo Bitcoiners now walking around the world? And oh, yeah. I could really see this, like, I mean, gosh, $20,000 is still a lot of money for Bitcoin in my mind. You know, it's like,
yeah.
I don't feel bearish at all.
Yeah. And I just saw today that there a new all-time high record for Bitcoin wallet addresses that hold more than one Bitcoin. We're at about 900,000. People hold more than one Bitcoin. Think about that. There's only going to be 21 total. We're almost at 1 million already. Come on.
Wow. That just, that just gave me shivers, man. That's just, whoa, dude.
And like Mr. W was saying, I've never stopped being long-term bullish, but you know, these cycles that we discussed, they're like inhalations and exhalations from this Bitcoin organism. After having a massive inhale for 3 years, it needs an exhale. And the exhale is the time to load up on some more before it goes up another 5 times, 10 times, who knows. And thinking about 4 year cycles and how the flavors are changing, Bitcoin's been in a secular bull market since its inception, which is quite a few years now. And every asset class, doesn't matter what it is, has secular bull markets. And eventually it needs a little break and a little bit of a secular bear market. It needs an exhale after an inhale. And if it's a 20-year inhale, it might need a 3-year exhale. And I think the next 4-year cycle might be the beginning of such an event. But the nice part of it would be if it is such a thing, it means that the beginning part of the next 4-year cycle might be way stronger, way faster, way more upside than anyone can possibly imagine, so that we can have an exhale for 2 to 3 years after the fact and then continue on the bullish phase.
Right. So weren't you're talking about this is kind of like the front running the halving scenario as opposed to kind of back running it. I guess you could say.
Exactly. I'm thinking that the next 4-year cycle, we might have all-time highs before the halving.
Wow.
Or at the halving. You know what I mean? Like it could be like that. Right. And then a blow off top, much harder than anyone can possibly expect or imagine. And then the whole rest of the next 4-year cycle is, chop sideways, downside, all the way to the next bottom before we can have a resumption of upside. Gotcha. So another different flavor. Every 4 years has been... It's been different ever since the beginning. You know, the very beginning, we had the double bubble, 260, 1200 all in one cycle. Then we had, 20,000 vertical on another cycle. This time we had this trough between 30 and 60, kind of right in the top for a year and a half. So I think the next one could be different again. And that's totally fine.
Hey, guys. So I'm going to give everybody here listening to this some inside baseball. Because a lot of people, they hear me talk, they hear me debate Tom Vase. Guys, but in the back end, we're actually collaborating. A lot of us Bitcoiners from different sides of the Civil War are collaborating. I had Blockstream people hang out with BSV people. Blockstream people that [S2] Nice. [S1] Are working on third layer. What is third layer? People talk about the second layer, the Lightning Network. The third layer is building applications on top of the Lightning Network that also interact with the first layer. So it's the computational layer, they call it, right? That's being worked on right now. In BSV, we're working on computational development within Bitcoin first layer. So we have this world of third layer computational power meeting first layer. You can see BSV as like a kind of like research and development for Bitcoin. If you really want to look at it, it's R&D for Bitcoin. It's R&D figuring out what could be done on if we expand the block size. And shit, man, we can do a lot, actually. There's a lot of beautiful things happening. Upstream Data, when you guys see my interview with them, it's all SHA-256, mine from home. Actually, you can dollar cost average through your utility bill. It's going to geek you guys out when this comes out.
Cloud mining, or is it different?
No, dude, it's mining from home. It's mining from home. Literally, you're mining from home. Nice. And it's actually cheaper than people think. Actually, I'll put right here in the description below, and I'll put a QR code here to coin Econo Alchemist. And his this is very revolutionary. Econo Alchemist did a whole write-up on this, and just pull out your phone, hit the QR code here, and you guys can read what he wrote. So I'm gonna be talking to Econo Alchemist. I already interviewed him, and yeah, SHA-256 is not going anywhere. I had a meeting with the founder and CEO of Why Bitcoin and Bitcoin Magazine and the Bitcoin 22 conference and Bitcoin 21 conference, David Bailey. He's a great friend of mine from the early days, and we're still good friends. He's a BTC maximalist, obviously. And yeah, his assessment is there will always be a SHA-256 coin. And I agree with him. And guess what, guys? Bitcoin is not going anywhere. Bitcoin is not going anywhere because there will always be a SHA-256 coin. And it will always, the Bitcoin protocol is here to stay. And every mutation and every civil war that we've had has only made Bitcoin stronger. And whether you guys realize it or not, because you hear us debating and still talking shit to each other here and there, in the back end, we're all working together because Bitcoin's anti-fragile and you can't kill Bitcoin. You cannot kill Bitcoin. And now we're experimenting with Bitcoin's computational power on a third layer and on chain. So get ready because this bad boy is just waking up. It's like the Bitcoin mind. Because a lot of us literally, guys, you know what's creepy, but not creepy, but beautiful, is that we see Bitcoin as an artificial intelligence that is gaining consciousness and it's just barely waking up. When Bitcoin started, well, the first thing that we used to say back in the day, and this was very much like a big blocker thing, was like the first application is money that we have to get down. Bitcoin as money. Okay, cool. We got that down, right? BTC already... big BTC, Bitcoin Cash, all of these iterations of what Bitcoin could be as money has already been established. This is money. It's store value. But now we're moving into other applications. How else can Bitcoin be used? What else is this? Because what the fuck is this? This is amazing. There's so much to it. So now we're experimenting with these things. And I was sitting in between, Josh Hensley, who's a BSV, smart contract developer, and Eric Martindale, who was part of the original founder team of BitPay, and he was part of Blockstream as well. And watching these guys talk back and forth, guys, that was freaking mind-blowing. But that's happening. It's happening. These conversations are happening, and people are collaborating. Bitcoin's not going anywhere, dude. I'm so bullish on Bitcoin, guys. On just everything that Bitcoin is. I'm Bitcoin mining specifically for me because I love proof of work. It's not going anywhere, man. So from a fundamentalist analysis perspective, oh my God, what a gift this correction is.
Yeah. On that note, I do want to caution though that the Luna thing did highlight that there are risks outside of major protocols. And so in a bear market, we'll expose those. So, you know, I think there's sectors of the space like privacy. Obviously, we know that have real fundamental value drivers long term. There's also a lot of shitty vaporware out there that if you're highly exposed to some of this stuff, that could go to zero. So now Bitcoin will be around forever, but a lot of these won't be. So just be careful about your exposure when we're in this kind of environment.
Yeah, I think it is a good time to have an honest discussion about altcoin performance in this next phase of the bear market, now that it is confirmed in this bear market structure. I think you and I had a discussion about the Bitcoin dominance chart on our last video together. And through a bear market that only goes up, Bitcoin dominance continue to go up, altcoins will underperform. And even if they're already down 60, 70%, they and go down to 90, 95, 99% corrections, like we saw with Luna.
Yeah.
So holding all coins for this phase may not be the best idea, especially if you're trading them. Don't let your trade go down another 9% before you decide to sell. If you see the signs are saying this is going down further, well, sell and then sort out later. Lock in your capital. There's no need to hold anything for a 99% correction. which is very common with altcoins in the bear market. And we saw that during the last bear market with all the garbage was cleaned out by those corrections. And then all the new projects stepped in. And the top 10 changes, top 10 coins change every 4 years completely. So with exceptions like, you know, Bitcoin, Ethereum, which would remain top two for quite a long time, the stuff below it is just a big mix all the time. And we need to see what's going to survive in the next bear phase. And Luna was, you know, a top 10 coin. That's gone. And that took 48 hours.
Okay, I have to ask and talk to you guys about this. I just have to. The one thing about Luna and what this experiment with, you know, these AlgoPeg stable coins, the good thing about it is that it took weight off the shoulders of Tether. Tether, its secret sauce is fractional reserve banking laws. That's really its secret sauce. Mm-hmm. What do you guys see Tether in all this? And how is it that, you know, I know Tether is a big controversial topic. A lot of people like to talk about it because they spread a lot of FUD about it. But in reality, the way I've always seen it is if you have a problem with Tether, you really have a problem with fractional banking itself, which I do. I don't like fractional banking because that's, you know, fractional reserve banking is something that every commercial bank in the world operates under, and Tether is riding off the coattails of that same system. So if we are going to, you know, throw shade at Tether, we're going to have to throw shade at every commercial bank in existence. Because so in the United States, for every dollar that you give Chase, for example, or Bank of America, they get to loan out $9. That's fractional reserve banking, guys, if you guys don't know what it is. So what do you guys think about Tether, and what do you guys foresee for Tether after this whole Luna debacle?
Yeah, I think it'll just be brought into the US regulatory fold and become part of the traditional banking system. Maybe some kind of weird hybrid gap bridge kind of thing between the traditional system and crypto, maybe, you know, over the next decade or two or something. But I think it'll just become part of the old system, kind of, you know, it'll be regulated by the letter agencies in the US.
I see it doing the same thing it's been doing the whole time until its whole existence, which is business as usual. It will just continue doing what it's doing. In fact, there was the whole New York Attorney General lawsuit against it for a while. And now they do have to provide the bank they hold the funds in has to provide the totals to the New York Attorney General's office every 3 months. So it's like a quarterly, you know, audit in quotes. And it's not, you know, fractional reserve as much as we think it is. They do lend out their funds to like make more money. But at the end of the day, apparently, and if this wasn't the case, I'm sure we hear about from the New York Attorney General that that's not the case. Right now, it's still backed by enough assets. Even though those assets are being lent out as, you know, and it's debt on their books, it's still backed by what's supposed to be backed. So as far as I see, it's going to continue being business as usual and nothing's going to change. In fact, I think the algorithmic stable coins like UST and I think the Haven protocol also has one, are really high risk to be holding as, you know, as your stable store of value. And that people should be looking elsewhere for things that are more trustworthy. USDC held its peg perfectly to the whole thing. That's the Circle/Coinbase stablecoin. So there's not a whole lot of panic there. That's probably the one that gets stamped by the four-letter regulatory agencies as the one to use going forward. But I don't think Tether is going to die. It's every Tether FUD event I've seen over the past while has led to nowhere after the fact. And in fact, whenever there is a Tether fear, the Tether using exchanges end up with a Bitcoin price premium because everyone's Xing Tether to Bitcoin to get out of Tether. Yeah. So that only helps Bitcoin in the long run.
Right on. Yeah, this is something that I've always said. The only problem with Tether that I see is that we need more Tethers. That's it. We need more Tethers in the market. And if you are in the banking sector, like I've told a lot of my banking buddies, dude, guys that own banks, like, hey, dude, this is like a once in a lifetime opportunity. You should really consider this in doing this, because these guys understand how to run, you know, how to do all the compliance and all that. So yeah, we need more tethers in the market. Definitely. Actually, yeah, definitely. We need more tethers. Guys, I want to move into, if you guys want to give us a quick forecast before we leave, because I've had you guys here for quite some time and I really want to thank you for your time. You guys are very busy. So would you guys be down to do that?
Yeah, man.
So yeah, if you guys could please give us your forecast, how's the crypto weather after this whole Luna situation? And yeah, what do we have? I'm excited. What do we have to, what do we have to look forward to? Cause, I'm excited about these amazing opportunities to, make future gains.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, kind of shorter term, I think that both of us and a lot of people in the space are looking for at least some kind of tradable bounce to maybe slightly higher levels. You know, I think I've been saying for about the past, you know, 4 or 5 days, really ever since the lows last week, I think they need to be retested. And so us staying below 30K here, maybe over the next, you know, 3 to 5 days, we get a retest of those levels. If we can hold the, you know, 26, 27 area, then I think 35, 36, 37 is in the cards. But this is just kind of tradable tactical plays within a broader bear market that Mr. A talked about earlier that probably doesn't resolve itself until much later in the year. Summer is probably going to be pretty choppy. I think, again, if we can hold these lows, then we might just chop all the way through the summer, call it between 25 and 35K. And maybe, you know, in the fall or early winter, that's when we get the final capitulation washout to that, I don't know, 20 to 23 area, but where we really put in a bottom. But before that summer chop starts, I do think we get a bounce, because there are people still that would like to, big players that would like to probably get out at higher prices and try to get back in at those lows later in the year. And so that's kind of what I'm playing for here. I would probably be bidding, like I said, in the written update on Friday, anything below 27, riding it to 35-ish, let's call it, and then probably getting back into cash and staying safe for the summer. So that's my plan for now. That could easily change. But I think that probably fits in with Mr. A's broader, more bearish narrative as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. we're usually in agreement.
Yeah.
Not all the time, but usually in agreement. I can share a chart, which is probably going to be the one that made me cautious before all of this happened. And let me just find that share button here. It usually disappeared. There it is. Okay, can you guys see that?
Yep.
Okay. So this is my standard weekly chart that I look at, which has a Fibonacci EMAs on it. And I'm going to zoom into here. And I have been really careful as we move down all the way to here to these levels. And we kind of rode 37,000 for a long time. Over 2 months here in between January and March. And that was, to me, was like this critical support level at this Fibonacci EMA, this blue line. And we pumped out of it as we expected with our cycle analysis. And then when we topped out here early and broke down below it, as we worked our way to this orange candle, that's when I said, okay, it's really time to be really careful. This is a bad sign. This is a harbinger of bad things to come. And then we've been in this bear trend ever since. And I said, if blue got tested one more time at 37, it was probably going to go. And once it went, I mean, look at this. Capitulated right down through all the levels, all the way down here into the purple, which I said is going to get tagged about the week before that. And it did. And what we have to note now is that we up until this point, until we broke this down, we had higher highs, higher low, higher high, higher low. And then here we had a lower high, and now we had a lower low. This is now a bearish structure. This is without discussion. This is a bearish structure now. And it's early in the bearish structure, which means this is not going to resolve itself tomorrow. So anyone saying this is a bottom, we're going to pump out of here into all-time highs, I mean, that makes no sense whatsoever. I think the bearish structure needs to resolve itself. Yeah, it can have, you know, another lower high and another low low over time, and that will be much more fitting with the picture for final bottom. To be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, impulse down, done. Then we have a bear market bottom that can then chop around for a while and then come out of it. You know, very similar to how it unfolded back here. You know, we had a final capitulation. Then we came out of it, chop, chop, chopped. And then we had a bull run. But that took a good amount of time. So I think that's going to happen. Here's the same deal. Down to here, chop, 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 chop. And then finally come out of it. We'll probably come out of it sooner rather than later, I think, compared to previous cycles. But all this here above us now, see all the red arrows, that's resistance. And in a bear market, you sell into resistance. You sell the rallies into these zones. You said, you know, 35, 36, 37, you know, if we get into the 40s, that'll be great. I think this is up here is a clusterfuck of resistance that is not going to get broken anytime soon. If for some reason get into the high 40s, somehow, I don't know how, then I'll definitely sell into that to buy lower later. But I think you're correct in your analysis that 30 to 40 kind of area is going to be, you know, as far as the thing goes before we go and chop around for the rest of the year and then test lower levels. So that's it for me. Just a quick run through all we're at with the weather.
And again, it's not like, you know, we sound bearish. We're like sound negative. Yeah, like things are quote unquote bad. We're going to get lower prices most likely. But put on Roth's spectacles and look at this as an opportunity.
A huge opportunity, guys. I mean, look, you're not going to realize this. Unfortunately, you're not going to till after you gather experience. What you can do is you can come to logical deductions from seeing what makes up Bitcoin and crypto. And if you understand it from a fundamental analysis perspective, you will see that there's just no way but out of this, but for it to be bullish. I don't know exactly when. That's when you have to talk to Mr. A&W about. But this is Bitcoin's not going anywhere. Crypto's not going anywhere. And when we came into crypto, I know you guys probably share this sentiment. When you guys came into Bitcoin, you guys knew we were going to see these numbers, right? The 20,000, the 50,000, the 60,000. I knew it too. I remember celebrating. We had a $100 Bitcoin pizza party. It was a bunch of my buddies that came into Bitcoin with, you know, Pierre Richard, Michael Goldstein, Daniel Krawitz, you know, I think Jimmy Song was there, fellow traveler, Justice Ranveer. We celebrated $100, you know, I think Cody Wilson was there as well. You know, it was like, but we knew that this was going to happen and we had conviction back then because we studied Bitcoin, and we knew that there is no stopping this. It's never going to end, and it's only going to get better. And just the market drivers around Bitcoin are such, given the situation with the Fed, the catastrophe of the story of fiat with central banking, that there's just no other way but up in crypto. And it's honestly, this is to be expected, you know, that it's actually gone up a lot. If you think about it, I mean, we're at 20,000, 50,000. I mean, we're talking about these numbers like nothing. So, it's definitely something that for anyone, I'm trying to put myself into the mindset of someone that just came into the market. And the best advice that I would have for anyone is kind of like the advice I always have is don't buy into anything. Sit down and study. Sit down and really learn about these things. Take your time. Don't put yourself in the situation where you are blindly following someone else's advice, because that is the way you put yourself in a position of being manipulated by someone else. What you need to do is really learn these things. And that's what we strive to is to really teach you guys about these things so that you can make up your own decisions. So that you can come into crypto with a firm understanding of what you're doing and how to do it. Because we also teach you guys operational security in terms of how do you actually use these things, right? And how to use them properly in your personal life. So it's a set of tools that you need to appropriate and personalize. So what parting words of advice would you guys have for anyone who probably got hurt during this whole Luna fiasco and that they're now just finally finding their way, you know, to crypto vigilante after all the shitstorm that happened? Because we're different. I know we're different in crypto because, first off, no one talks about the things we do. And we don't get carried away by trends at all. If anything, we're always very contrarian. So what do you guys have? What message would you guys like to leave off for anyone that got hurt by the whole Luna thing?
Sorry, that sucks. And I would say to your earlier point, Raph, about going on tilt, don't do that. Don't try to go out, use 50x leverage and make it all back in one trade. That's not the way that this game is really supposed to be played. This is a long game. We've been talking about all day about opportunities, buying at the lows instead of the highs. You have a great chance here to, over time, get all that back and much more if you're smart and you DCA at lower prices and stick to the plan. But yeah, my main piece of advice would be don't go open some leverage account and lose it all again trying to make it back, because that's already over now. So now it's just trying to get a better longer term strategy in place with some more secure assets, I would say, i.e. Bitcoin.
Yeah, I agree with everything Mr. W has said. And I think if you got hurt by this because you were all in altcoins or an altcoin, it's time to reevaluate and reassess how you're structuring your portfolio. In my opinion, you should have a significant amount of Bitcoin as part of it as your safe bet that's held for the long term, or maybe forever until your very old age. That should be a significant part. And then if you want to assign smaller amounts to altcoins, then subscribe and use the altcoin opportunities they're going to provide with you in the portfolio, which you have some pretty good opportunities of, you know, maybe 100x, 1000x coming out of the bear market bottoms when they finally happen. And that'll be the time to load up on those as higher risk plays, but not the majority of your portfolio, because going all in altcoins always leads to almost complete losses in the end if you don't structure things carefully.
Yeah. And so the conclusion then, Mr. A, is that we are in a bear market. Is that the conclusion here?
Yeah.
Yes, we are in a bear market, and I showed that on my chart. The structure is bearish. There's no ifs and buts about it. That's a bearish structure. And until we see a bullish structure that proves that otherwise, the bearish structure and the trend remains. The trend is down. I can draw a line from the top to the bottom. That's down. There's no upside there. It's just no higher, lower highs and lower lows. And until that changes, that's the stance they're in.
So bears are the time for opportunity, guys. This is really the time where this is the time. I don't understand why this is not like more understood by people, but these are the opportunities. This is the time of opportunity, actually. This is the time to build. Bears are for building. This is the time, if you have an idea in crypto, this is the time to build, to launch come the bull season. This is the time to build. This is the time to educate yourself on crypto, on aspects of crypto that you really don't understand. This is the time to network. If you are not part of a crypto or Bitcoin meetup, start one. If there's not one in your area to join, start one. This is the time to make connections. This is the time to grow, to get ready for the eventual bull run. So that's what we're doing here. And yeah, guys, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, man.
Thank you for being with us. Thank you for chatting with us.
And total pleasure.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, awesome to hang out with you guys again.
For sure.
Right on, right on, right on. No, and so it's like, one thing that I want to convey before I leave here is, for someone that is experienced, a bear season, a bear cycle, the bear part of a cycle is when they get most excited. And it's a good way to measure the temperature of your investment acumen. And hopefully everyone watching this will sometime in the future, after they grow, they will become like Jeff Berwick, and they will become like giddy children, knowing exactly what to do during a bear correction. So thank you for being with us, Mr. A and W.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
Yeah. Peace, love, and anarchy.
Yeah.
And I'll talk to you guys again some other time. Bye.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers, man.
Cheers.
A recent bloodbath has shaken the cryptocurrency market to its core. When the stablecoin Luna collapsed, the entire industry felt the ripples. And longtime and new investors alike started hammering down on the panic button, but not clients of the crypto vigilante. 2 months before the apocalyptic event, famed crypto asset analyst Mr. Z predicted this exact scenario and told their vigilantes exactly what to do about it. Mr. Z explained that if confidence in the asset was ever tested, it would trigger a death spiral loop that would cause Luna to implode. He also warned their vigilante readers not to use UST as a reliable store of value and what to do instead. Discover their predictions and how the crypto vigilante keeps their readers safe while making them wealthier every step of the way. Because these shockwaves haven't finished yet, but the real cryptocurrency bull market is right around the corner, and you want to be ready. Read more at cryptovigilante.io.